I'm down here doing a little bit of a riskier thing this morning because this is such a familiar story. It's hard to hear it anew, or we hear it anew every time we hear the story of the prodigal son. Every third year in Lent, this story occurs. It's a story that's become part of our being. Even if we don't attend church much, we've heard the story of the prodigal son. So at the early service, I tried this, and I'm going to try it again with you. And that is a little bit of a Lectio Divina style, which means that's Latin for spiritual reading, spiritual reading. And I'm inviting you to hear this oh-so-familiar story again and ask, what is God saying to you, through this very familiar story from Luke chapter 15. I invite you to take the text, the Pew Bible, and look at it as I read, or simply close your eyes, keep your eyes open, but find a comfortable posture and simply listen for the Word of God for you from this story from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property on dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything to eat. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to eat and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and before heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' And so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still afar off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you and before heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and the dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured all your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him? Then the father said to the son, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the word of the Lord. Biblical scholars talk much these days about what is called social location, meaning that we all hear from a perspective. It is perspectival. I looked that word up. It's a real word. It means we see from a certain place. We see from a certain ethnicity, a certain nationality. Even the political parties that influence us affect our vision and what we see. Even the questions that we're likely to ask, our gender, our race, all are included. It's a very rich thing to understand when you understand social location, that we see from a variety of perspectives. And so biblical scholars will say that stories are multivalent. That is, they come to us, they mean a variety of different things out there, but then we see them in different ways. That's why a community of faith is so important, because we see together and we bring our collective wisdom one with the other together. But this is never more demonstrated to me than an experiment that Mark Allen Powell did with the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. Mark Allen Powell is a very fine biblical scholar, and he had occasion to read and study this story with both his American seminary students — he's a Lutheran seminary professor — and seminary students in Russia, and then seminary students in Africa, Tanzania. And what was interesting was how much their vision affected what they saw. The American seminary students, almost 100% of them, saw that he had squandered his property. The Russian seminarians, they lighted upon the famine that was in the land, and no one gave him anything to eat. What was interesting between the two, he postulated, was that as Americans, as capitalists, we see certain things in certain ways, and riches count for us. And what we do with our property counts. And so that's what we see. We don't squander our property. And yet for these seminarians in Russia, St. Petersburg in particular had been affected profoundly by World War II and a siege of St. Petersburg that left people starving. Some 670,000 Russians either died of famine or destitution during that period of time. They never forgot it. They passed down this experience. And so the whole notion that this son was destitute in a famine affected them deeply. What did the students in Tanzania see? Well, it was the inhospitality. No one gave him anything to eat. In Africa, hospitality is the only thing that counts. You are hospitable. You share. So I guess I'm wondering, this is a little bit of a risky thing to do here this morning. We did it at the early service, fewer people, but that's okay. We have a fuller crowd. I'm wondering how the story struck you. Did God speak to you specifically through the story? That may be a question that's a bit risky for you to answer, but I invite you to do it. Or what did you see in the story? What did you see in this reading of the story? Perhaps that you hadn't seen before, or perhaps that you had, but you'd like to share with us. Anyone? Yes?
It pays to be patient.
It pays to be patient. Okay. Very good. Yes? We're all the older brothers. Well, it's true, the Presbyterians are the older brother that never left. Yes, anyone else? Yes, go ahead.
There were slaves.
Yeah, there were slaves. Okay. Yes. Mm. Came to himself, he came to his senses. Okay. Aha. Okay. Yes. Margaret? Yeah. Yeah. You see yourself in both the older brother and the prodigal son. Yes. We are told that by Middle Eastern standards, that is a very, very, very uncommon and very undignified thing for a father to do, to actually run to embrace the child. Yes, Youngo. It's an unconditional grace that comes. Yes? You wish the church would stick together. Okay. Okay, thank you for that. Yes. A forgiving spirit. That was remarkable. That was remarkable. Some see in this text a wish that the father would die is what the son did, because the son would have been given the inheritance after his father died, but only after his father died. So asking for it earlier than that is a death wish for the father. And yet the father forgives. Yeah. Anyone else? You know, there's also a variety of other angles. I'd love to just explore them with you. Just one of them that captured my attention, and that is not only reading from a different perspectives, and all of us gives different perspectives on the text, reading from cultural different racial perspectives, seeing different things in the text, and then we are invited to see the text through the eyes of others. When I was involved with the Living Wage campaign in Baltimore in the mid-90s, I got to know several people of the working poor. And just lately, we've been involved with the Radcliffe Room ministry. And many folk in our Radcliffe Room, homeless folk that come to us every single Sunday morning, are the working poor. They do temp work. They do temp work. And it struck me that if you read that text among the working poor, they might see that here's somebody that they can identify with. Here is a prodigal, a son, who is sent out to feed the pigs, the most denigrating thing a Jew could do, to feed the pigs. And what did he earn for it? Not even enough to eat on. How profound is that to ponder some of our Radcliffe Room folk, the homeless in our city, many of whom work, but they don't get enough to create a life on it. And so, just a little advertisement, Theo Brown and I have started a group, and along with the Radcliffe Room leadership, folk, we're working, doing one-on-ones, relational meeting with our Radcliffe Room folk to see if they might be suitable in a pipeline for some jobs that the WIN organization has helped to create through DC Water, recreating the infrastructure of the city, make it a green infrastructure to absorb the stormwater runoff that is plaguing the city. It's something that DC Water has in the offerings. And we're wondering if some of our Radcliffe Room folk might be candidates for these jobs. And so perhaps this might be in the future. If you're interested in any of this, let us know. Let us know if you want to work with us on this. It did strike me this, that if the prodigal had actually earned a living wage, and created a life for himself, and perhaps maybe even got married and had a family, and stayed right where he was, would it change the story? No waiting father, no. running from the edge of town. No, no, none of that. Somehow, I don't think so. Because in the big scheme of things, that is the lost who are found. That is a full expression of God who celebrates when we are able to create life here together. In so many different ways, we are the lost. We've expressed them, some here this morning. And others could be expressed in so many multitude of ways. We are the lost that are found by God. And it is one sure thing: when we are found, there is always a feast. There is always a feast. And that is in part what communion is about. So, welcome to the table, those of us, all of us, who are lost and yet found in the love of God that refuses to let us go. Amen.